What was I looking at from 2 to 3 p.m. last Friday?
So in the context of this new regime in the new media world, one of the very exciting developments is that the Berkeley Art Museum is in the process of constructing a new building. And along with that comes a new set of programming, a new perspective, a new philosophy. And one of the things that's very exciting is that Kevin Conzie, Lucinda Barnes, who's here tonight, and others at the museum are developing a new exhibition program in digital art. And they've had the foresight to name one of the local experts in this area to serve as the new digital media director and adjunct curator of that program. And we're fortunate that he's here tonight and will do the introduction of our honored speaker, and his name is Rick Reinhart. Please.
Thanks, everybody. I'll be quick. I know how this is, the series of introductions. I'll just say that I'm one of those people who followed Rudolph's work before I ever met him, but I did have a chance to hang out with him for a couple of evenings in Linz, Austria, earlier this summer for a small conference that we were both at, and it was then that he struck me as a person who thinks in really interesting ways. And I don't know, maybe that was the gallons of Hefeweizen that they give you at dinner in Linz, but no, I think it was the way you think. So I was very eager to see Rudolph arrive in the Bay Area and bring his energy here, and he has, and even though he's relatively just landed, he's already started proposing new ways that all of us can start working together, and he's sort of re-energized the community, I think. So I'm as curious as all of you about what he's going to say tonight, so I'll make this brief, but since he is new to the area and some of us might not know him, let me go over the requisite laurels and familiarize you with them. Of course, in terms of curatorial experience, Rudolph Frieling is currently the curator of media art at the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art. From 1988 to 94, I hope it's okay to mention the years, he was curator of the International Video Fest Berlin, which is now Transmediale. From 94 until 2006, he was a curator and a researcher at the Center for Art and Media, better known internationally as the ZKM, in Karlsruhe, Germany, where he also, until 2001, was the head of the video collection there, and he was the head of the Media Art Net project there as well. Internationally, he has curated, among other venues, I'm sure, for the Biennale in Sao Paulo, for the Laboratorio Art Alameda in Mexico City. Rudolph should feel very at home in this kind of a setting, that is to say, in academia. He studied humanities at the Free University of Berlin and got his PhD from the University of Hildesheim. He's lectured on media and art at the University of Art and Design in Zurich, as well as the Academy of Art in Berlin. And he was a professor on the media faculty at the University of Applied Sciences in Mainz. He has also published, together with Dieter Daniels in particular, he has published a series of multimedia and book publications on the history of media and media art. And so I'll just end my introduction by, Ken already mentioned that there's this kind of new energy in the area, which I completely agree with. And, just to compare and contrast, a mere couple of months ago, there was no major museum in the Bay Area, of all places, sitting here next to Silicon Valley, with an official program dedicated to new media art, and now, all of a sudden, there's more than one. So in case anyone was thinking that after 10 years of ATC talks, that maybe we were running out of steam, and we didn't have anything more to say, you'd be wrong. We're just getting started, and this man is one of the reasons why. So please join me in welcoming Rudolph Frieling.
Thanks, Rick. I don't think I need this. Yeah. Just one quick comment to Ken. I wouldn't really talk about a regime change. Would you? I mean, regime change to me is something different. I'm actually very, very happy to be here, and it's sort of my first public appearance here in the Bay Area. And so even before publicly speaking at SF MoMA, I'm here. I was also asked to come up with a provocative title. So that's it.
Stop making
and,
sense.
And the kind of keywords that you see below that title are sort of related, but I'm not directly speaking about it. It will be more about something that is related to collecting data, to sorting data, to linking data, to distributing data, and to presenting data. I will rather jump between a whole set of related works and projects, and maybe the message in the end will remain an open question. So I think what I'll be showing you is much more an activity in a research in a field than a finished theory or a finished product. And I kind of like to think that this is appropriate for media art. You might have different opinions about that, but I think to keep information, to keep interpretation, an open process is a very important part of this. Being new here, I also have to adjust to the kind of expectations that people have about a curator of media art at SFMOMA. And so I'll be, let me just tell you about two experiences of the last 2 weeks I had. One was actually 2 weeks ago, 2 days ago, and it was a very interesting moment where I just coincidentally ran into a British artist who seemed to be doing some sort of performative action in public sites, public places. It actually didn't quite become clear to me what he was really doing. But he mentioned this very interesting thing, and he told a story in which he was working, doing something, and somebody approached him, and he actually asked him, "Are you the artwork?" So I thought that was really interesting. And I also thought, well, if he sort of set that up, that's an interesting artist. And I also think that this is somehow related to my field. It's related to media art in many ways. One is that it's conceptually interesting to set up a context where somebody would ask that sort of question. The good part about, I mean, I'm imagining in a way, the good part about it is also that you would assume this is not the end of it, but then there would be this whole interesting conversation and communicative process going on with the artwork. So two-way communication is something I feel very strongly about, and one might say this is maybe a too narrow definition or take on media art. And here is an anecdote that actually happened to me at SFMOMA a few weeks ago, and I was asked by a member, and he, you know, I hadn't met him before, but he sort of asked me, well, so tell me, what is media art? And I really very spontaneously reacted, and he was quite honestly asking, are you kidding? Now, that is such a complex issue. You don't want me to, you don't expect me to explain that now in two sentences. I actually gave him then some sort of an answer. But I think the point I want to make here is that it is actually very difficult and increasingly more difficult to answer that question the longer you work in the field. It's a bit like learning English for me. The longer you learn, the more words come up that you've never heard of. Now, I jump further, even more, to a very recent project that, again, my colleague Peter Samus pointed out to me, and this is called Steve. Actually, the homepage of that is steve.museum. And this is about social tagging and folksonomy in art museums. Now, participation in Steve, and I'm quoting this, is open to anyone with a contribution to make to developing our collective knowledge, whether they formally represent a museum or not. The idea is not one librarian, not one archivist, not one curator has the knowledge to come up with a coherent interpretation of a given artwork, but collecting different points of views, coming up with a collaborative effort, could point you somewhere in a more productive direction. So this is then the opportunity to actually look at a given work of art and place a keyword there, which is a bit like the Wikipedia thing, only in this case it is really, really related to artworks. I find that totally fascinating. I'm, again, not sure whether this is a really productive model. Still, you don't know what is then the most productive key term or keyword for a given work of art. Let me read the ultimate tool commercial as a kind of perverse ending. The product is called Waymarker, and I had this quote somehow on my hard disk stored. We experience our daily environments through the lens of assumptions fueled by past experience. Out in the world, we see what we decide to see. We see what helps us make sense of our world. The Waymarker project breaks down our self-imposed walls of perception by giving us an alternative perspective on our daily interactions. How do I get started? First, download Waymarker to your internet-enabled Series 60 mobile phone, whatever that is. By entering, now that's the URL, in your mobile device's browser. Second, turn on Waymarker, wear your device, and this is it. Wear your device and continuously document events in your life. If your cell phone doesn't have a web browser, read the frequently asked questions. Third, view the beauty and quirkiness of everyday life. Remember things that may have passed you by. View photos, animations, and map where your pictures were taken. I actually put these two together. This would be two different parts. The map where you took these pictures, and then the grid of pictures taken. And then the ad calls this, in short, location-aware documenting wearable with unlimited storage. Now, this sounds like the ultimate tool, yet the question is, why would we want to document everything? Why don't we get the tool that records and interprets? So thinking about this, I all of a sudden realized I had forgotten to write down the proper quote. Even happens to me after 30 years in the business. So what do? You Google, right? And there it was, www.waymarker.com. A hardware company of computer technology, Waymarker Limited, based in heart, and this is a quote, based in heart of the business district of Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan. I thought, that's strange. And I Googled again, and yes, there was also a website associated to the Tisch School of Arts in New York. And it's Waymarker, and the E is missing in marker. So probably Waymarker was already given away as URL. Now here's a quote from that side. Here are some of the questions the Waymarker can answer. What was I looking at from 2 to 3 p.m. last Friday? Show me all the photos I ever took in Central Park. Show me the photos as a stream, one after another. Play back my life. This is actually like a Nam June Paik, but I think it's not ironic. So finally, the wearer of the Waymarker has the ability to give another individual real-time access to the wearer's continuous photo feed in real time. This other will be able to see the wearer's point of view outside of the wearer's interpretation. Mike Bukin, quote from the ITP Spring Show 2006. I would say only an artist could have any use for the Waymarker device. And I would also say we definitely need a Waymarker critic. So I know I have extended our time. I have also digressed completely. but I just couldn't resist from somehow integrating this Google find into my talk. And I would say digressing is a way to stop making sense. It is thinking as process. Thanks.